He says, if we would just point our kids in the right direction, when they get old, they will not be lost. I want to start a message today, and it's simply entitled, Raising a Christian Child in a Crazy World. Raising a Christian Child in a Crazy World. Let me see the hands of you who know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. You love the Lord. You are a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. It should be the desire, my brothers and sisters, of each and every one of you, to raise your child to become a Christian just like you are. That's a responsibility that God gives unto us. However, when we look around in our world, we have to admit that we are living in both the best of times and also the worst of times as well. It's the best of times because as it relates to our children, they have opportunity and advantages that many of us, and especially our grandparents, never even dreamed of. The level of prosperity, the level of access to information in this global society that we live in, it makes soaring to new heights, accomplish new goals. It makes all of that attainable, that our children are not able to just dream about stuff. They're not just able to imagine certain things, but we live in a day and a time when the tools are available for them to attain. That opportunities are available. Certain barriers and certain limitations have been brought down now in our world. And we're living in sort of the best of times because now they are able to receive things much faster. They are able to receive it in greater quantity than we could ever imagine in our day and time. However, my brothers and sisters, even with all that is going on as it relates to the opportunities, and all that is going on as it relates to the advantages, there are still some downsides to this culture that we live in. That even though we have access to so much, even though we have opportunities, we still see that the values of our society is on a steady decline. The character of the individuals in whom we perhaps are looking up to as role models in our society is developing, and so is declining rather. And so we are in the best of times, but also we're in the worst of times as well. And when we look at how these things are happening, it becomes very, very challenging to raise children in this particular culture. Can somebody say amen to that? That because some of the stuff that our mamas and our daddies used on us, it don't even work no more. Some of that stuff is just obsolete now, and so we have to be children of Issachar, if you will. We have to understand the times. We have to know what is going on in our world, and we have to adopt so that we can save our children from this crazy society that we live in. All it takes is a casual perusal of newspapers or news outlets for us to understand that we live in a crazy world. We live now. It used to be a time where our children were safe in school. Our children were safe in certain areas, and now we almost have to pray every moment and every second that they are out from underneath our immediate advisory. And so this is why, my brothers and sisters, I believe that there is a clarion call that's going forth to every parent that's in this room today, and God is saying, raise your child like a Christian. Amen. How do I do this, Pastor? How do I raise my children when they are experiencing things 5 and 6 years ahead of schedule? When they're being exposed to stuff at 9 and 10 years old that we didn't come in contact with until we were well in college? How do I do this? And I hear Solomon saying right here in Proverbs that if you would just point them in the right direction, if you would just lead them in the right direction, when they get old, they will not astray. See, and that's the word of the Lord. And the thing about the word of the Lord is that the word of the Lord can stand the test of time. The word of the Lord can stand any kind of cultural movement, any kind of social uprising, anything like that. The word of the Lord is able to raise your child in the midst of all that's going on in this world today. And I just want to know if there's anybody in here that still believe the word of God is true. Amen. That still believe in the midst of it all, my child can succeed. My child can be who God has called them to be. So we have to become principled people, because parenting is the single most important job that all of us have in this room. Parenting. Rearing our children is going to be the most difficult but yet it's going to be the most rewarding. I'm going to say that again. Rearing your children is going to be the most difficult, but yet the most rewarding task that God is going to call us to do. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, there's times when you're going to want to pull your hair out. Yes, there's time when your blood pressure is going to run up and you're going to try and wonder, are they hearing anything that's coming out of my mouth? It's going to be difficult, but trust me, your labor is not in vain. Because God is saying that you're going to receive the fruit of your labor with your children. As parents, I want you guys to hear this. As parents, we must understand that it is not the responsibility of others to do for our children what God requires from us. You didn't get that. I know when you get it. It's not somebody else's responsibility to take care of your child. It's your responsibility. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's your responsibility. That's it. You say, I don't even have no children. Well, I'm telling you before you get some, it's your responsibility. Look at them and tell them, it's your responsibility. No, you got to say it with an attitude. Tell them, it's your responsibility. It's not the responsibility of somebody else to do for your children. You can't expect the government to do for them. You can't expect the school system to do for them. But they ain't teaching them nothing. Well, what are you teaching them? When's the last time you check homework? Because I believe that children are interested in whatever you're interested in. I really believe that. And if you make education a value in your house, it'll be a value in their lives as well. See, it's not the responsibility of somebody else to discipline our kids, to do for our kids, to provide for our kids. That's our responsibility. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this because this is a statement that balances my previous statement. Even though it's not the responsibility of others to do for our children, we can't adopt the mindset that my house is straight. I don't care about anybody else. Because watch this, what goes on in my house affects your house. Because none of us live on an island. All of us are interconnected in some shape, in some form, and in some fashion. So everybody in here today has a vested interest in the success of our children. Every person in this room today, if you are a business owner, you have a vested interest in the success of our children. Because that's going to be your pool of employees in a few years. If you are a leader in ministry like I am, I have a vested interest in seeing the success of our young people because they are going to be the leaders in the church for tomorrow. So all of us in this room, we are connected. And you can't adopt the mindset where that's their children. No, it's all of our children. Yes, the mom and the daddy should be doing their part, but if they're not doing their part, it still takes a village to raise a child. But the problem is we have to make sure the village that our children are a part of, that the village embodies the values that we believe. You can't let your child be a part of just any village. You can't let them be a part of any community or any circle of friends because they have to have our vested values. And my brothers and sisters, what happens is that somewhere along the line, in the parenting process, our kids fall off the team. Somewhere in the parenting process, our kids get disconnected. Disconnected. What do you mean by disconnected? Which means, watch this, they get disconnected from the house. Which means somebody else has their ear, somebody else has their respect, and somebody else has influence over them. And this is what the devil wants. I want you to hear me, parents. This is what the devil wants. He wants to pull your child from underneath your influence. Because when he can pull them from underneath your influence, then he can use them for his purpose. Hallelujah. He can use them for his purpose. And consequently, this is what happens to us. That we lose the ability to speak to our children. Because now we're not even speaking a language that they can comprehend. We lose the ability to influence our children. We can't motivate them to do anything. We tried everything we can, but it's lost. Why? Because they fell off the team. But I want you to hear this today, and I believe this is the word of the Lord for our church, that this year we're going to win with our children. This year we're going to reconnect with our children. This year our children are going to know like never before that they are somebody. Let me give you, I'm going to give you the first 2 points in this, and then we're going to pray. How to raise a Christian child in a crazy world. Because just because you live in a crazy world don't mean your child got to be crazy. Don't mean your child has to participate. Just because they go to the school don't mean they have to be like the school. But it's going to take an effort for us as parents. Number one, if we're going to raise a Christian child in this crazy world, we as parents, we must think correctly. You got to think correctly. You got to think correctly. You got to have renewed thinking. You can't think like everybody else. You have to think correctly. You have to see things correctly. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12, okay? Y'all good? Romans chapter number 12. I want you to see this in the Word. This is so important because the most important thing that God has entrusted us to do is to raise our children, to leave a legacy. Now, some of you in here today who have children, some of you in here today have grandchildren, some of you in today, in a few years, you're going to have children. You need to hear this. I spoke with one of our members after the 9:30 service. She's expecting. I said, this message was right on time for you because we have to know the importance that God places upon childbearing and child rearing. Look what he says in Romans 12 and verse number 2. He says, and do not be what? What? Do not be conformed to this world. You can't think like the world thinks. He says, but be what? Transform. How? Your thinking has to change. You can't see things like everybody else sees things. He says, transform by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what he's saying? He's saying so that you can show that the word works. He says you got to change your thinking so you can show everybody that the word works when you do it God's way. And if you're going to parent in this society, you can't be thinking like the world. You can't view your children like the world views their children. You got to see it like God sees it. And God says that takes a transformation in your mind. You have to know what your role is as a parent. Okay? You got to know what your role is. And you have to see your kids in the right mistake. How we view our children is very important to keeping them engaged. How you see your children. It's going to be so important to keeping them on your team throughout the duration of your parenting process. See, many people make the mistake because we don't think the right way concerning our kids. We don't see them the right way. How should we do it, Pastor? How should we view our children? What should our thinking be? Here it is. Number one, if you're writing in the blank, you should know that your children are gifts from God. Everybody say they are gifts. Say it again, they're a gift.
They are a gift.
Now, despite everything else, you need to know that they are a gift from God. Everybody say it again, they're a gift from God. I don't care what the pretenses were for them coming into the world. I don't care what the atmosphere was like. The child that you have is a gift from God, and they need to know that. Do you understand me? Because if you don't believe that children are a gift from God, all you have to really do is ask somebody who's been praying for God to give them a child, but they can't have a baby. I don't know if you have anybody in your social circle like that or if anybody ever been asking you for prayer, but I have. And you should know the anguish of people who are trying to get a blessing from God, trying to get a child from God and can't have any. You don't know how blessed you are until you look at somebody who wish they had what you have. You got to know that my child is a gift from God. Hallelujah. Somebody say they're a gift. They're a gift. And that's how you have to begin to see that. Even if it was unexpected, it was unexpected to you, but it wasn't unexpected to God. Even if you don't like the person you had the baby with, that has nothing to do with the value of the child. Because in the eyesight of God, the child is special because everything that God creates and allows to live is special in his sight. You got to change your thinking. You can't say, well, this child can't be blessed because I wasn't even married to his daddy or to his mama. No, he is blessed because God has allowed him or her to come into the world. And you can't be walking around talking about they are accident or they was a ooh-ooh baby. No, no, no. The fact that you are here means that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Go with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And you got to let your child know that you are special. That I know that you are special. I don't care what they call you. I don't care what they say about how you look or how your hair looks. You are special in the sight of God. And they need to hear that from you. But you won't know that they're special until your thinking changes. Hallelujah. Until your thinking changes. You should never let your kids hear you say that they were accidents. Yeah, they might have been unplanned in your mind. But before y'all hooked up, God already knew. God never creates an accident. And see, what happened is this thinking can lead subconsciously to holding grudges against our children. Because we think that they're not special. Look what he says in Psalm 127, verse number 3. If you have it, say, I got it. It says, behold, children are a heritage from who? The Lord. It's a gift from God. The fruit of the womb, it's a reward. God is blessing you. He says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, that's how your children of your youth are. He says, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They are a gift from God. You got to see that. You got to see that. They're my gift. And see, when you see them as a gift, you start treating them as a gift. You have to know, teachers, educators, those are gifts that you teach every day. I know they won't sit down and they won't shut up and they're disrespectful, but you got to know God. They don't know it, but they are a gift from the Lord. And when you have the right thinking, then it produces the right fruit. The problem is we don't see our children as gifts. Some of us, our children are just infringements upon our liberties. Our children just getting away from us having a good time. And we're trying to live life, and they just have to get in where they fit in. God says, nope, you have to begin to say, this child is a gift from God, and they demand something from me. Children are a gift from God. Not only if we're thinking correctly should we know that children are a gift from God, we should also know that God requires stewardship of our children. God requires stewardship of our children. You're right, and I think that's on the handout. He requires stewardship. Let me hear the church say stewardship. Stewardship. Say it again, stewardship. Stewardship. What does that mean? That you have to know that the child really belongs to God. But he's just allowing you to raise the child so he can use the child for his purpose. See, that's how your thinking has to change. This child really belongs unto the Lord. He's given them under my stewardship, under my management, because they belong to God. You see that? They're a gift. They belong to God. He gave them to you so that you can cultivate them. You can develop them so he can use them. But you have to be thinking that way. You have to think that this child that's laying in this bed is going to be somebody. Because God has given them to me as a special gift, and I have to cultivate them now so that I can present them to God when they're old enough and say, Lord, use them. See, and this is how we have to think. Be not conformed to the ways of the world. Okay? Yeah, they might be bad right now, but their latter shall be better than their past. I know they may be getting in trouble. They may have been in jail a couple of times already. You don't have to go down to the juvenile detention center to see about them, but you still got to know that God said that you are special, that you're a gift, and I'm not giving up on you. You see that? Parents, we can't afford to kick them to the curb. That's your stewardship. That's your responsibility. And whatever it takes to save your child, to get your child back on the right direction, God is saying you got to see that as your responsibility. See, the problem with stewardship is that we can't be a good steward when you're self-centered. Hear me, parents. You can't be a good steward over what God has given you when you have a self-centered mindset. When it's all about you, when you just about what I can get out of it. No, sometimes you got to put you on the back burner, baby, and you got to say, God, I have to attend to what you've given me as a gift and as a reward. See, and so we can't be good stewards. Why? Because to be a good steward is going to take time. Okay? You ain't going to better always go where you want to go. And do what you want to do. And watch what you want to watch. Sometimes you got to go to the movies and just watch Shrek. Sometimes you got to go to the movies and spend the money and watch Alvin and the Chipmunks. Why? Because stewardship takes time. It takes sacrifice. Let me tell you something. Stewardship takes patience. Thought I'd get a better amen right there. Because sometimes the stuff that you're trying to instill in them, it don't harvest right away. Parenting, effective parenting of children and being good stewards over them is going to require diligence because it's delayed gratification. See that? That's what he told Habakkuk. He says, write the vision, make it plain, for it shall speak and not lie. See that? If you put it in them, it's going to come out of them. But you got to make sure you first put it in them. See, you're thinking about this whole parenting process has to change. Somebody lay hands on yourself right now and say, Lord, change my thinking. Amen.